Welcome to another episode of the Blue Crew. Is my microphone connected? Just make sure.
You got to keep this in.
Microphone connected.
No, three. You can't cut that. You can't cut that.
Okay. Welcome to another episode of the Blue Crew Pod, New York podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. I'm your host, Johnny Lazarus, joined by my good friend, Cody Frankel. And we are going to get into the playoff preview today. No Avery Zaretsky. He's in Puerto Rico. Avery will be back after game one. Like the last episode, we'll be recording the day in between games, episode on game days. Are you tapping something? What are you doing?
You hear that?
Yeah.
My bad.
It's so loud. But
I was literally just tapping the microphone.
Well, yeah, no shit. It's going to make a sound.
I was tapping the bottom of it. I wasn't like tapping the speaker.
Got you. Well, I missed you last episode. But all right, Rangers Caps, initial thoughts. Is that who you wanted? Do you not want them?
Bro, I sent you guys my list of fucking 10 opponents and Caps.
I don't remember your goddamn list of what opponents wanted.
They were number one.
Cody just like starts a day in the group chat with like, it'll be like one day a week where you get some topic in your head and you just explode our phones with your text.
Well, that's because I don't answer you guys all week long. And then the one day I can answer you, I need to get it all out there.
You just pile it on. It's crazy. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
But it's so funny. It's good stuff. But you want Washington. You feel good.
Yeah, I want Washington. I've wanted Washington from the start. I think they're the weakest team. I think they have no backbone. They have Ovi. Cool. We beat them before, and they traded arguably their second best player in Mantha, and arguably their third best player when he gets up and running in Kuznetsov. So, you know what I mean? Sure, you can make the argument for Carlson.
No Backstrom either.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, you can make the argument for Carlson, you can make the argument for Backstrom, but Backstrom's not playing, right? Backstrom's out.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, who does this team really have? I don't know if you've looked at their, points or anything, but, dude, Dylan Strome was the team's fucking leading point scorer at 67 points. And we have six guys or five guys who had more than that, and our team's deeper, our team's better. I'm going with Rangers in five, and if they go to six games, I literally have no words because I think they should handle the Caps with ease. And I know they went 2-2 against them in the season. Doesn't mean shit. We were hurt all year. I think full strength. Yep.
No, I was just going to say to the 2-2 thing, those four games were all in like that mid-December to January window where the Rangers were playing their worst stretch of hockey. So it's tough to like judge. But again, you can make the same case for the Capitals too, right? So it's kind of tough to judge on those four games where the teams are at right now. So, you know, I was someone that tweeted like Lindgren and Shesterkin stats against each other this year. And Charlie Lindgren was really good. He was the better goalie against the Rangers than Shesterkin was against the Capitals. But I'm not saying that Lindgren's a better goalie than Shesterkin. You know, his numbers were just really good. But again, the Rangers, I feel like they had such a hard time against Lindgren. And that's the only thing that concerns me is that at 5-on-5, I'm not afraid the Rangers won't get opportunities because I know they will, but it's managing the frustration. Like if they're getting the chances and Lindgren stops them every time, how do you stay level-headed and what do you do to try to find a way to beat him? Because it seems like for the most part, and even on the power play too, because looking back at the four games, the Rangers were 1-for-12 on the power play in the four games combined, only one power play goal.
Yeah.
So it's really just knowing that there's actual zero pressure on Washington. Like, I actually argued this I've just done like five different topics, but I've been arguing this a little bit on social media because I said it on Morning Cup of Hockey today. People asked, a listener said, who has more house money, the Islanders or the Capitals, or is it someone else? And, you know, I think the Capitals are the like obvious answer because they're the worst team in the playoffs, but I don't think that necessarily means they have more house money than the Canucks would, who to me are like the Devils from last year. No one really expected them to be that good. And because they had such a good regular season, it kind of gives them more leeway to not go as deep in the playoffs because it's like, hey, we're here, we arrived. And now next year, you know, we're going to be back at it. Even though the Devils had a terrible year, obviously, but I'm rambling on right now, but you know what I'm trying to say, right? So the Capitals literally have zero pressure in this series. And that could rattle the Rangers if things don't go their way right away. You know, if the Caps come out and score the first goal and Lindgren stands on his head, how do they kind of manage the expectation, which is higher than it's ever been this year?
Yeah, I lost you on your first sentence.
Yeah, I went all over the place there. No, I did. And I'm sure there's people listening right now like, what the fuck is he talking about? But I hope
listen, here's what I'll say. I have zero fucking pity for the Washington Capitals. They've made the playoffs.
Oh, I'm not saying that's what you should have.
The last 17 years, they won a cup. You can argue they're the worst team, sure. But you know what? They still find a way every single year, minus last year, and I think it was one other year in the teens, 2010s, like, they didn't make playoffs, but yeah, I didn't really know how else to phrase it, but like, you know what I mean? Like, they're always here. And honestly, saying they don't deserve to be here that I've seen on Twitter from some people, that's horseshit because they beat out three other teams towards the stretch run and they got hot when it mattered. And yeah, the last 10 games they've cooled off. Sure. I mean,
I don't think so. They beat Boston. They beat Tampa. Who else did they beat? They've had a pretty good run.
I think they ended kind of cold though. I think they ended like 5-4 or something, 5-4-1 or something like that. Or maybe I'm thinking of a different team. But I thought it was
they Boston. Beat some good teams.
Yeah, they ended 4-4-2. They ended their season 4-4-2. So 4-6.
But yeah, they beat Boston. They beat Tampa. They beat Detroit.
Yeah, no one's saying they can't beat good teams. I mean, they can. They can beat good teams, but maybe I think
Winnipeg, Carolina.
I think something to really keep in mind when you go into this, you know, this series, right? Charlie Lindgren is a good goalie. He is a good goalie, and it is going to be awkward as shit for the Lindgrens these next few weeks. But here's what I'll say. Goalies like that frustrate you, right? The Rangers are the prime contenders when it comes to like somebody playing like freaking Henrik Lundqvist against them, right? But I think not getting frustrated, as you mentioned, is a key. And, you know, generating high octane, high danger chances with your explosive offense that we've had all season, I think that's just so important. We need guys to shoot the puck and just keep shooting the puck, right? Like Panarin creates these amazing opportunities to really score in like insane situations that most NHL players can't do. Keep doing that. Mika, I don't know why he's generating this like fat pass first mentality these days, but he just needs to get out of that. And you even saw it the other night, right? Where there was on a 2-1 breakaway.
Well, I know there was people shitting on him.
He should have shot that pass. There's no reason.
He's giving that to Panarin because Panarin's looking for 50 goals.
Don't care. Cool. You're giving it to Panarin. You're fucking
Mika
Zibanejad.
You're
Mika Zibanejad. You've had back-to-back 40 seasons up until this year, 40 goal seasons. I don't even want to hear that shit. Okay. Like, find your shot, dude, because if this guy can't get going and put Panarin aside, because obviously he's the number one guy who has to get going. Like, if Mika can't get going, we're not winning a cup. It's as simple as that. There's no other like way around it. He needs to get going for this team to win a cup. And in those situations, especially when it comes to the playoffs, I'm looking at this guy to score the fucking puck and score a goal and shoot the fucking puck. Like, I don't know how else to put it. I mean, Charlie Lindgren or not, like, they just got to keep shooting at him. If the power play is not working, like, don't be afraid to switch it up. Put Lof on PP1. He should have been
there
all
season. They're not going to do
that now. Bro, they'll do what I say they do.
They haven't done it all year.
Pay attention.
But they're not. That's not realistic. They're not going to
if you're telling me.
Also, the power play has been fine.
Bro, you were literally like they were 1-for-12 against Washington on the power play.
Against Washington, but
yes,
in general, it's been
who are they playing for the next possibly seven games? Washington. Yeah,
what? But their power play. So just looking back, I have a lot of numbers. I was digging through numbers all day today. Their power play in the past 15 games of the regular season's at 32.4%, second best in the NHL.
Yeah,
and again, like I said, they played Washington in that stretch where they were 14-12-2.
Yeah.
Like it was a tough stretch of hockey. So I don't want to judge. You know, the regular season numbers against Washington too harshly when talking about what to expect in this series, you know?
Can we just talk about real quick, like Boston totally tanking to avoid
Tampa? 1,000%. Yeah.
Totally 100%. Tanking to avoid Tampa because they know they have the Leafs number, and I bet Boston will probably
it's gonna backfire.
Seven. Dude, I hope it does. I hope it does. But what a bunch of cowards, honestly. That was a total tank. Mm-hmm. I mean, whatever. But I also kind of like that Vegas. I love that Vegas jumped the Kings, and now it's going to be Vegas.
Well, they still have one game left, so that's not decided yet.
The Kings have
one game left.
Yeah.
To jump Vegas back.
Yeah.
Who did I don't know who they play. Who did the Kings play?
The Kings are Canucks, I think. I think it's the Kings have
tomorrow night.
Oh, no. Kings, dude, the Kings have Dallas, bro. They would have Dallas. Kings. Oh, you're talking about for tomorrow?
The Golden Knights play the Ducks and the Kings play the Blackhawks. So, yeah, so I would think both teams win that game, but I don't know. We'll see. Okay. Next topic. Are you worried at all about this President's Trophy curse? I'm not.
Initially I was, right? We've had these talks. I'm not now because the reason I say I'm not is usually when a team wins the President's Trophy, they dominate. You saw what Boston did last year. They beat everybody else by like 30 points, right? Usually it's not that much, but you'll usually have a President's Trophy winner winning by like 8+ points and just being dominant all season. This season was an absolute grind, and there's five teams that could have won the President's Trophy. So I think it was just a total coin flip. Rangers played the best puck when it came down to it and mattered. They won the President's Trophy. I honestly think this might be the first year in a long time where it doesn't backfire because you're not playing that tough of a first round opponent. The Isles are a tough matchup for the Canes in round two. Okay. And then if you look on the other side of the, in the Atlantic, I mean, there's some tough matchups there. Like Panthers might not make it out of round one. Boston might not make it out of round one. And then you go to an ECF, let's say they go on a run and you're possibly playing one of like, you know, Tampa, no matter how good they're playing, or I don't know, the Leafs, like I'll take that all day and I'll take my chances. And coming to the West, I mean, there's so many different teams. Who knows who's coming out of there? Like, you can't even worry about Colorado. You can't worry about Vegas. Like, for all we know, it could be the Canucks. You have no idea because there's literally 6, 7, 8 teams there. Like, I know the Predators were hot for a while. I think they've cooled off a little bit, but like, they're not my pick. But I could see, and probably not the Kings, but like any of the other 6 teams, I could see making it out of there. So,
yeah, it's going to be a dogfight. Any other topics before we kind of go into fan questions? Cause we have a lot and I'm sure that'll be majority of this.
The only other thing and I wanted to do was if you want to make previews, like educated guesses on the first round.
We don't know the Western Conference yet.
I guess you're right. Okay. We can do that next.
Also like the Western Conference is like, I mean, not that no one cares,
should we do East guesses and then we can do West next episode. All right. So what's yours? Go just rip through them. And then
we end with the Rangers. Let's end with the Rangers Caps, even though you kind of said yours, and I actually kind of agree. Yeah. All right. So the first one we can do is, I guess, Boston versus Toronto. I say Toronto in 6.
Okay.
What do you say?
I'm gonna go with Boston in 7.
Boston in 7. And what is your reasoning?
Although Boston really, in hindsight, went 47-35 because they had so many fucking overtime losses, I do think they're a team that can wear you down. I think they have better goaltending than the Leafs. And when it comes down to the playoffs, like, goaltending is what matters. Yes, the Leafs have better players on their team, no question about it. Matthews, almost 70 goals this year. Insane. Bruins have Pasta. They have Marchand. You know how he'll play in the playoffs. He's dirty. I mean, they have McAvoy. They have some guys. Like, they're sneaky. They're sneaky guys to hang around, and I think they're a team who can kind of wear you down. And I think the Leafs might be a little bit too excited for this matchup that I wouldn't be surprised if Boston takes it.
Interesting. The too excited thing interests me. I see this as, like, exercising a demon for Toronto. You know, I look at this Toronto team similar to the Ovechkin Capitals teams that couldn't get over the hump and couldn't get out of the second round. Obviously, Toronto only got out of the first round for the first time last year.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Matthews-Ovechkin comparisons and how Matthews has become a little bit more of a complete player this year, and he could score 70 goals. We're recording this before the games happen tonight, so there's one game left for Toronto for Matthews to do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, while I question Toronto's back end, there's no doubt that Boston has a better blue line and better goaltending. For whatever reason, I just think Toronto is a little bit more complete than they've been in years past. And I think Matthews is just on a different planet right now. Nylander's had a great year as well.
And yeah, I just think they have three guys that almost had 100 points. Like, their team's insane. There's no question about it. Their offense is insane. But when it comes to defense, when it comes to goaltending, like, I'm a little sketchy regardless of, like, whatever anybody says, and I just don't trust them. And going into a playoff series, you need to be able to trust your defense and goaltending to not only get you there, but keep you in the game. And I could see that getting away from them is all.
Yeah. I mean, Ilya Samsonov is definitely not, you know, the biggest threat. I'd say as far as goaltenders go, but again, like, you know, this Toronto team,
also to be fair, you've literally said Toronto was making like the ECF for like 4 years in a row and have been wrong. Just got to throw that out there.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not right with a lot of my predictions.
All right. Next series, go to Canes Isles.
Man, this one's tough. Like, obviously I think it's going to be the Canes that win, but I do think it's going to be a little bit. You think the Islanders are going to win?
The Islanders are playing some really, really good hockey.
They're not.
No, they are. They are.
It's
they're
fucking
like
Varlamov.
The last 10, bro. They're 8-1.
It's Varlamov. They're not playing that well as a whole. It's Varlamov standing on his head.
Don't think if he stands on his head for four games to get them for a
win? I mean, sure, but I think Carolina is so much better than them.
I mean, sure. Yeah, I never said they'll win. I mean, I'm
thinking questioned it.
No, because I kind of think Carolina in seven.
Well, yeah, I don't think it's going to be a four-game sweeper.
All right, so what's your prediction?
Series, by any means. I mean, I think Carolina won in six last year. I think they'll win in six again.
Okay, and then finishing out with Panthers-Tampa.
Man, this one's tough. I feel like this one has to go seven, right?
Dude, I'm saying Tampa in six.
Yeah, I think Tampa in seven.
I'm saying Tampa in six.
Are we kind of aligned on all? Well, no, you have Boston and I have Toronto.
Yeah, but everything else, and then Rangers. I'm going Rangers in five. Don't be alarmed, fans, if it ends up being Rangers in six, but it's going to be the Rangers.
Like, with the Rangers, you know, we're so used to seeing them have series never end in five. Yeah. The last one I can think of was like that
2013.
Was it 15 against the Penguins? The Hagelin overtime goal, I think, was maybe the last game five.
Dude, I'm pretty sure we haven't had a game five since we've been in the cup. I'm pretty sure.
No, I think 2015 they beat the Penguins in round one.
No, the Penguins beat us in five in 2017.
I said 2015.
I know, but I'm just saying they beat us in five in 2017.
I'm pretty sure the last time the Rangers won a series in less than six games was that 2015 first round against the Penguins. So I remember I was at Penn State when Hagelin scored that goal visiting my friends. Three teams lined and one difference.
Yeah, you're right. I was right.
2015.
Yep.
So three teams are aligned, and then Boston and Toronto we have against each other. So I wonder how we'll do with those predictions. But want to get into fan questions?
Yeah, let's do it.
Willie White 17. How many Ranger players will have more goals than Ovi at the end of this series?
All of them.
Interesting.
Every
question.
Player on our team. At the end of this series,
after the first round.
I'm gonna say
you guys outscore him.
Panarin. I'm gonna say Vinny Trocheck. And I'm gonna say Alexis Lafreniere. And I'm going to say he ties with Kreider.
I was thinking Trocheck, Kreider. Those are my top two. Kreider, obviously, power play goals. I feel like he'll come up with a couple. And, man, I don't think Ovi's going to, like, I don't think he's going to pop off. I don't think so. I think he's going to have, like, two goals.
He lost a big step. He lost a step this year.
Well, he's been scoring lately. He turned it on in the second half. But I think he'll have, like, because I think he finished with 31. But I see Ovechkin having maybe two goals.
Two goals? Yeah. I mean, you know, to me, the guy to watch, right? You obviously have Ovi. You have Dylan Strome. I think he had like 26, 27 goals. A sneaky guy who I'm watching, and I don't know if he's still hurt. Maybe he's still hurt, but is Sonny Milano.
No, he's playing.
He's playing, yeah, because he had like I think he had like 15, 16 goals this year in 45 games, something like that.
Well, so, Island kid.
Yeah, I know. So he's a guy I'm looking out for, and I'm pretty sure he does pretty well against us, or he has in the past. And then obviously, I just need Rempe to kill Tom Wilson in game one.
I'm sure we'll get into that. But next question, Jackknife 82. Can we end the Pop Van Sucks chant? Do that before we get mad about NJ NYI fans chanting Rangers suck. So when the Rangers play, or when the Devils played the Islanders in Jersey the other night, there was a Rangers suck chant with both fan bases, and there was a lot of rent-free jokes going back and forth. So I guess the comeback from those two fans was like, you guys literally do Pop Van Sucks every single game. And I feel like we talk about ending the Pop Van Sucks chant all the time. I mean, yeah, I couldn't
be more aligned. I think it's really dumb at this point. I think it's like, it's the old head, like it's the old heads starting at number one, and number two, I'm pretty sure kids today who go to Rangers games, like, don't even know who Dennis Poppin is. If I'm being like completely honest. So it's gotta end.
Next one, Anthony Governale 19. How scary is hot Ovi with this Caps team goal heater the last few months? I mean, we just kind of talked about it. I'm not scared, like, at all.
Not scared at all. Like, not scared whatsoever.
I only fear Charlie Lindgren. That's really it.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think, listen, at the end of the day, you know, Laviolette said something that really resonates me. He said they've been preparing for this stretch run for months, and I think they have. And I think they're a different team than we've seen in the past. And they're a team that, like, my biggest fear is protecting leads. Like, that's my biggest fear. Like, I have no doubt we will get in front, and we'll get in front early. It's just protecting leads. Do not give up softies. Like, 1-2-1, like 2-2-1, like, play tight defense. Just don't fucking give up stupid goals. That's it.
So I'm kind of the opposite. And we got a question from Nathan Coleman 45. What do you think is the biggest worry going into this first round? I would say it's not about protecting leads for me. It's about getting behind early and trying to come back in. Because the Rangers, I think in like 11 of the last 15 games, they allowed the first goal. So my fear is that they allow that goal, and the penalties don't get called as much in the playoffs. So they won't have their power play to rely on, you know, in games that they've typically needed that power play to get going. So my fear is that the Rangers let up the first goal, and then Lindgren just kind of stands on his head, and they have no way of getting back into the game. Mm-hmm. So I think the Rangers, you know, I think it's been something that has been somewhat of a focus the last few games. Because if you remember closely, the start against the Islanders was not great. The start against the Flyers was not great. You know, something that the players said in the post game was, we have to match their desperation, have to match their intensity. And they came out and did that against Ottawa in the final game. But I really do think my concern is not scoring the first goal or even first two goals, because, like, say what you want about the Caps, the Rangers are the better team, but it's not going to be easy to come back if you're down one or two in the playoffs against this team with Lindgren in net.
Yeah, I mean, sure, agreed. You know, one goal is fine, but you don't want to give up a big lead. You just don't. I think we need to.
The Rangers are up too. Do you really think the Caps are going to, like, I don't see the Caps being able to come. Their offense doesn't really scare me that
much. Well, that's what I'm saying. I think it's all about protecting leads, and I think, you know, being aggressive is one thing, but I think when it comes, like, during the regular season, but I think when it comes to the playoffs, like, if you score a goal, you protect that goal. Like go into full on defensive mode and play safe. I mean, if you need to add on another goal and it happens, great. If not, you win 1-0, but, like, protect the lead.
I think these games are going to be like 3-1, 1-0, 2-1.
For sure.
2-2,
totally agree.
I don't see any explosion.
There might be one, like, 5-2, like, explosion, but agreed.
Next one, and this one, so this was asked last episode, but you weren't here, so now you have a chance to get it. BKoch 32, Cody, now that you've actually seen Rossovic play, are you happy you've been pushing the Rangers to acquire him the last couple of seasons?
Yeah, absolutely. He cost us nothing. I mean, he really cost us nothing. And, like, you know, it's not like he cost us a first or anything like that, or heavy prospects. Yeah, I mean, he cost us nothing. He's scoring goals from time to time. He's like zipping around. What?
Like, two goals.
He just scored. I know, but he just scored against the Senators. But, like,
that was a beautiful play.
Yeah, I mean, listen. I look at him as a guy with, like, Hagelin upside that can fly around and score a goal, like, on a rush. And in the playoffs, that matters. Like, that matters a lot. And I'll tell you something else. If the Rangers get fucking Hedo back at some point, I mean, they could put him on right wing one if he's ready to go. And you could put Roz on the third or fourth line. So it's like,
so
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that was a, that's a lot of, we have a lot of that question.
Okay. Okay.
But just to read out Rostovic's stats, 19 games played, 3 goals, 5 assists, 8 points. And I guess while we're on it, Wennberg, 19 games played, 1 goal, 4 assists, 5 points.
Yeah.
And it was funny. Rostovic said in the post game the other night after Ottawa, guess they needed us to get the President's Trophy about him and Wennberg, which was funny. But, you know, we have like 5 people. I can't read every name that's asked, but we have 5 people, 6 people who have asked if Peedle comes back, where is he going in? If he even comes back, I have no idea if he's going to or not. I don't think anyone really has a clue. The Rangers have not talked about it much. I'll be at practice tomorrow, Thursday, as you're listening, and Friday. So we'll probably get some more information, but they can't, I think, officially take him off LTIR until Friday, because once the regular season ends.
Yeah.
So he won't be available to speak till then.
Yeah. If I had to guess, man, he's not playing in the first round is just my guess. I think, you know, he's been skating around for a week now. Give him this week again, that's 2 weeks. By the time this round ends, that's 3 or 4 weeks to get the guy ramped up. If he can slot in and he's ready to go for Carolina, they're going to play him. Like, they're just going to play. Like, if he's like, yo, I'm ready to roll, like, they're going to play his ass because, you know, like, if you think this is going to be a low-scoring series, like, you know Carolina is going to be 2-1, 1-0, 3-2 every game. So, you know, he's a guy I look at that I'm thinking, damn, they could absolutely use him and, you know, kick Barclay Gaudreau off or Rempe or whoever you fucking want, but they could use him.
I think he'd be in Rempe's spot.
And that's fine. That's fine.
Because I don't think they should split up Wennberg, Cooley, Kako. I think those three have been pretty strong together.
Hedl is either going on the first line or the fourth line. It's going to be one or the other. It's not going to be I don't think they would push Wennberg to 4C. It just doesn't make sense because they're vibing well. And like, you know,
Hedl and Kako have the pre-existing chemistry.
I don't think they'll do it, man. They'll do it. No.
Well, so maybe Hedl would also.
I think
Hedl would take over the middle and they put Gaudreau on wing.
Oh, that would be fucking awful.
Well, Gaudreau's been fine on the wing, I feel like. You don't think so?
No, I don't.
Only been a couple games, but. Let me go into the next one. Sorry. Let's see here. A lot of questions about Rempe. I think he'll probably play in game one. Do you?
Rempe? So we've had this talk maybe 10 times throughout the season. And, you know, I'm sticking to my take then. I'm sticking to my take now. Like, Rempe is playing for this team in the playoffs if they have the right matchup. Guess what? The Capitals have a guy named Tom Wilson who Rangers fans fucking hate. That's the right matchup. Rempe's going to be playing in game one. There's no question about it. Will he finish out the series? I doubt it. I think if the Rangers are up 3-0, if they're up 2-0, like, they're going to bench him and they're going to go for defense then, because we've all seen time and time again, like, Rempe's a kid. He makes mistakes. He, you know, he doesn't do the smartest thing sometimes, but he's a tone setter. And I think coming into this series early, they're going to want to set the tone in games 1 and 2. So my guess is Rempe plays games 1 and 2. Depending on what the outcomes are of those two games, they're going to either choose to continue to play him or bench him.
Let's go one game at a time. Game one. You're going to say game one and two?
Absolutely. He's playing game one. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. No, but game two is no tough to tell, obviously, with.
Yeah.
We don't know what's going to happen in game one.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. If he gives a giveaway that leads up
to. We're recording again. So, like, you know, we don't have to make these like far fetched predictions, you know, because we can just come right back and record and talk about it.
I don't want to record with you.
Chris Logan, which player, if any, do you think succumbs to the pressure this year?
Succumbs to the pressure. If there's one guy, it's going to be Mika Zibanejad. Like, that's who it's going to be, in my opinion, at least.
I'm having a hard time with this one.
Panarin's turned on. Fox is turned on. Lafreniere's turned on, Kreider's turned on, Tro is turned on, you know, Keandre's turned on, Schneider's been awesome. Truba's Truba. I mean, it's, you know, when Wennberg and Roz don't really have that type of pressure. Like, it's not on them.
Isn't it wild that there's more pressure this year than last year? I guess, well, not wild because they won the President's Trophy, but last year it felt like they had all the pressure in the world. And this year, there's
but also, like, if you think about it in hindsight, last year, like, you know, could they have beaten the Devils? Absolutely. But at the same time, they were the lower seed. So it's like, it is what it is. I know, but still, they were. Like, they were. Yeah. They were. And the Devils,
I think the Devils were favored too, actually.
Yeah. So, like, you know what I mean? Like, for sure, the pressure's on this year because they're literally the cup favorites. They're number one right now. They started out the season as the seventh cup favorites, and they did not get respect on their name until literally April 1st, where they started being like, oh shit, this team actually could win the cup. Like, yeah, thanks.
Mm-hmm. We have a couple of questions about, well, I'll read Brandman 7694 asked about it, but Joe Manzi 55 gave us his. Who do you think is the biggest X factor? Joe Manzi said his is Jack Roslovic.
That's a good one. Who's yours?
I think it's Vinny Trocheck. I just think for me, Trocheck has gone above and beyond in every situation this year already with killing penalties, winning faceoffs on the power play at 5-on-5. And if Mika and Kreider and Roslovic aren't scoring, you're going to need Trocheck and Lafreniere and Panarin to step up even more. Last year, Trocheck only had that one goal in the first round. This year, you know, he seems not like a totally different player, but just a little bit more comfortable, a little bit more confident. And I think Trocheck can be somewhat of a, you know, Braden Point type of player, right? Like Braden Point, you know, he's become now like a 40, 50 goal scorer in the NHL, but his playoff performances have been gritty and just like ratty and in your face and physical and don't take any shit. And Trocheck kind of reminds me a little bit of that. I think Point might have more skill, but I'm careful in saying that because Vinny does still have a lot of skill. Uh-huh. But to me, it's Vinny Trocheck that can be the X factor. I think he can even lead this team in goals in the playoffs.
Yeah, Vinny's the man.
You have one?
Dude, of course it's Igor Shesterkin. Oh, sorry, that was my Avery. So
I feel like a guy like Igor and Mika though and Panarin, I feel like those guys can't be X factors because they're expected.
If they don't perform, you don't win a cup. Like that's same. I mean,
and Foxy too should be included in that.
Yeah, I have two. I kind of want to say Lafreniere because I think he had a breakout season.
That's a good one.
Nothing's given. Like you cannot say he's a given X factor because he's not. And so he's a guy to me that I'm like, if he performs, like this team is limitless. So he's one. And number two, I'm actually going to go with Keandre Miller because I think what he did in 2022 in the playoffs was incredible. And he was straight up locking down guys. And I think if he can get to that level again in these playoffs and then also provide a little bit of offense, like we're, you know, our offense really were drivers for us this season. Obviously, Fox aside, I cannot caveat enough in this Peter Laviolette system how important our defense is actually going to be when we have a lead in the playoffs. Like it's going to be insurmountable pressure for the defense to keep that lead. So, you know, don't really trust Trouba if I'm being honest, you know? So I mean, outside of Fox and, you know, Lindgren, like I look at Keandre Miller to kind of lead the defensive corps and really keep that lead. So
I think Schneider will step up too, playing with Keandre. Schneider's been, much more noticeable playing with Keandre, and that's not a surprise, but excited to see what those two can do, Schneider and Keandre. But last one here, Bobby Christ one. If you could take one player from the 2014 finals run to have on this team, who is it and why? I could tell you mine. I have mine right away.
Okay.
Ryan McDonagh.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Marty St. Louis.
No. Ryan McDonagh. I think having that shutdown defenseman, a guy
you know,
who can also contribute offensively, like McDonagh had a little bit of offensive upside to his game, but was also so reliable on the back end. Like he's a guy I'd love to see a Ryan McDonagh, Adam Fox D pair. Like, you know, that I think is the perfect combination. Not taking anything away from Ryan Lindgren, but McDonagh is one of the best offensive defensemen in the entire NHL. And he was so big for Tampa and their back-to-back cups.
Yeah.
To me, it's no doubt, especially if you're playing against, you know, some of these fast, strong teams. I don't consider Washington such a fast team, you know. So I wouldn't like necessarily say they need him in this scenario. But when you play a Carolina or play a Tampa or play a Toronto, a Florida, you know, potentially later on, you know, McDonagh's the guy that you want shutting down the other team's best players.
Mine's kind of a no-brainer for me, because we'd have the best top line in the league. Who am I going to say?
2014, Zook.
JT Miller.
JT, ooh.
Another 100-point player on the fucking squad, we'd be unstoppable. And the question never said how they would, you know, develop, so.
Well, I mean, yeah, it'd be like right now, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. JT Miller, no question.
I guess most of these guys are still in the league. Yeah. Yeah, it's a good one. Wait, who was JT's, who was on his line?
He was on the third line. I think he was the Hayes line.
I can't remember who he was playing with in 2014.
I think he was the Hayes line.
Is there a way to find that?
Yeah. So our top line was Kreider, Stepan, Nash. Our second line was Hags, Brad Richards, and Marty St. Louis.
Uh-huh.
And our third line was Zouk, Broussard, Puglia. Wait, what?
JT Miller only played four games in that playoff run.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, our depth line, our fourth line was a combination of Brian Boyle, Dom Moore, JT Miller, Jesper Fast, Carcillo, and Derek Dorsett. Wow.
Mm-hmm. What website is that?
Called Bleacher Report. Heard of it, bro?
Oh, I didn't know they have like the line charts. That's cool. All right. Any final thoughts before we wrap it up? Like I said, we're going to be doing pods basically every game day. So you won't be hearing from us till Monday. We'll record Sunday after game one.
Yes, sir.
But any final thoughts?
No, just take a deep breath and like, don't overthink this shit. We're coming in strong. We're coming in hot and we're coming for the fucking cup. LFGR, baby.